The first legs in this season's round of 16 are now complete, and Inter will take a lead to Porto in their tie. A tight affair decided late by Romelu Lukaku off the bench. Meanwhile, in Germany, Leipzig rallied at home to Manchester City to come from behind to salvage a draw. So much to discuss. Super saves, super subs, and super finishes after another dramatic evening in the UEFA Champions League. Well, welcome along. I'm Rob Daly, here to look back at another thrilling evening in the competition as European football expert Daniela Fischer-Geller alongside me. Daniela, two games to get into. First of all, your initial thoughts. Inter managed to get the job done against Porto, and you said in commentary there was a game to win there.
Absolutely, they smelled that there was the opportunity. Of course, the game changed with the sending off of Ottavio when there were 12 minutes to go, but credit to Inter for going until the end. Credit to Inzaghi for making some attacking changes, not only Lukaku, but also the introduction of Dumfries. And it was a very balanced game. Inter could score a couple. Porto had their chances in both halves, but in the end they were undone by the sending off. Look, it is a very interesting tie, it's a fascinating tie. Inter, obviously the happiest of the two, because they've proven time and time again that they can match up to the top teams, and they've done it both domestically and in Europe. Of course, they've not been very consistent in Serie A, but they've shown in Champions League what they are made of. Porto, on the other hand, they confirm that they are hard to beat, they are organized, they are well structured, they can press high. And obviously, in the second leg at the Dodragao, they will have a spring on the step. So obviously, Inter need to make sure they cut out the defensive mistakes that happened this week, this night to that as well.
More from Daniela throughout the course of the show. A reminder of how things unfolded on Wednesday night in the Champions League at Stadio San Siro. Inter 1, Porto 0. And at the RB Arena in Germany, RB Leipzig 1, Manchester City 1. But we have to start in Italy, where Inter were taking on Porto. Daniela was watching the match alongside Richard Connolly.
Calhanoglu from the throw, back in onto his right foot, thinks about the shot, thought about the shot again. Did he get clipped? There he did, he was dangling out the leg. It got taken, and the yellow card has been shown to Ottavio. It's his second of the night, and he'll have to go. Now wide to the far side, and Barella in first time. Lukaku's there, hits the post, and the rebound is there! Romelu Lukaku for Inter Milan with 5 minutes to go. Lukaku is back in San Siro for Inter.
The player that they most waited, they waited for, they chanted his name when he came on, and he delivers.
And we will get on to Lukaku shortly, but Richard joins Daniela and myself now. Lukaku didn't start. It was one of the major talking points, wasn't it, Rich, of course, when we got the team news out. So let's break down the first half, and really a game that was in a way defined by two outstanding goalkeeper performances largely.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Inter had more of the ball throughout the whole game, really, and the pattern was the same in the first half. A bit more of the ball, slightly better chances than Porto. Porto always posed a threat on the counter-attack. Inter were very patient, bided their time. Their big chance of the first half came right at the end of the first half when a free kick that was unwisely given away by Porto's left-back Sanusi, who'd been under a lot of pressure, really, because Darmian, they'd got him down the right-hand side a lot of times, a lot of space down that right-hand side for the wing-back. Sanusi gave the free kick away. Calhanoglu whipped one in, and Bastoni got a little flick header on it at the near post, and it actually took another deflection after that as well, which made the reaction save from Diogo Costa all the more amazing. He just stuck out a left arm and managed to somehow thrust the ball up over the crossbar. I mean, it's a miracle of timing, really, that he was able to do so. He had one chance to push it up over the bar and managed to succeed. I mean, it looked a goal all the way. Before that, Porto had a good chance. With the best move of the first half, actually, Ottavio had been involved. Grujic's effort was saved, and then the reaction header from Galeno went wide of goal when he might have done better. Porto's chances had good chance in either half, actually. Both were really top-class chances, and Onana did really well, actually, to keep the clean sheet for Inter tonight?
Inter were not perfect in possession. They lost the ball a few times, and I felt Porto have done the homework really, really well. They marked Çalhanoğlu, Mkhitaryan out of the game for most of the time, and they had to be praised for that. So Inter, when they lost the ball, they were susceptible to a few counter-attacks, and, you know, it was really a matter of inches sometimes, of details, and also a few good saves from Onana. So obviously, Porto are beaten but not over, and they showed once again what they're made of. But on the other hand, Inter were composed when they needed to be. When they played with 11 against 10 men, they didn't rush it. They managed to keep the ball on the floor. They moved the ball quickly, and then they produced a big chance with Lukaku, who scored. Great confidence boost for him. I must say, his introduction has been really, really good, because perhaps Dzeko today wasn't physically fit. He struggled a bit. Since Lukaku came on after the hour mark, he not only created chances, scored, but also gave Marcano and Pepe, who otherwise have been excellent, something to think about. I would imagine the Belgian to start in the second leg.
Yeah, I mean, he did look sharp when he came on. Perhaps the fruits of scoring that penalty in the last game just gave him that extra boost, but he did look at the races. I would say Porto were composed themselves, actually, for the 78 minutes until they lost Ottavio. And then Inter were able to put enough pressure on that actually for a moment or two it looked as if Porto might crumble completely and there was the chance of a second goal for Inter. We just note that Çalhanoğlu's been awarded the Player of the Match award. I mean, he did provide quality from wide areas on a regular basis and prompted some difficult moments for Porto. I think Porto will reflect, actually, that they finished poorly on the night, that actually they allowed Onana to make a couple of saves, and had they been better in front of goal, they would have taken the goal back to Dragao that would give them a greater chance of progressing. In the end, the fact that they lost the man with 12 minutes to go and Inter took advantage, they can't really complain at the scoreline.
We're going to hear from Hakan Çalhanoğlu shortly, who has been named the UEFA Player of the Match. But so much of the focus will be on Lukaku. You mentioned it in commentary that the fans were calling for him. He came on, he delivered. It's only his fourth goal, and we know he's had injuries, and there was the injury issues clearly. The World Cup wasn't there with Belgium. He was called into the squad. How pivotal do you think this will be, this moment, this goal, do you think, in his returning season at Inter?
It could be a sliding doors moment for him, because his second goal in a row after the one of the weekend. Confidence, we know, is a lot for him, for strikers as well. But I also feel that the physical strength is coming back, the physical condition is coming back. Now, Lukaku is the sort of player that if he's not physically 100%, everything comes difficult to him. Because perhaps he's not, as a striker, one of the naturally talented, gifted striker. He's a lot to do with his strength, the way he controls the ball, the way he can move. If those things, those mechanics, they don't quite work, that's where he struggles. But I felt last week against Udinese, and now his physical condition is back. His link-up play with Martinez was good. He almost gave an assist for Martinez to score. So it could be a game-changer. Inter didn't have him, basically, for the season, so they didn't have Brozovic. It's not by chance that as soon as these two players come on, Inter almost put another gear and managed to put pressure and win the game.
Ottavio will miss the second leg. I mean, he's a big loss. It's not a terrible result, of course, for Porto. One goal, no away goals anymore. It doesn't necessarily matter. They haven't scored at San Siro, but it's a tough task in that second leg. Can you imagine Lukaku will be bang at it by the time the team's made
it? It is a blow for Porto. It's the end of a 22-game unbeaten run for Porto, dating back to October. So this will feel like a real gut punch for them, undoubtedly. Ottavio had come back in after a spell on the sidelines tonight, and I thought he was their sharpest attacking player. Some of his passing was very incisive in the final third. Undoubtedly, they will miss him. There are others who caused Inter trouble at times tonight. I still think this is very finely balanced for the second leg.
Oh, it's totally open also, because Inter away form this season has not been great. They conceded 22 goals in Serie A. It's a very poor record away, only away from home. They conceded 3 at the Camp Nou in the very good game in terms of results, but you know, they still conceded three goals, lost to Bayern Munich, so they haven't kept many away clean sheets, really. They're going to be under pressure. The draw de Lagao, again, we said at the beginning of the commentary, Porto have got the European pedigree, have got the experience. The environment is going to be rocking, so Inter are on for a tough night, of course, in 2 weeks' time.
Let's hear from one of Inter stars in the night, Hakan Çalhanoğlu.
First of all, I'm very happy, of course, that we win the game today. I think we have to close already before the game. We created a lot of chances, but we couldn't score. And we knew it already before that Porto is an amazing squad with a lot of quality players. It was not easy today, we know it, but we won the game, so this is more important. Even if we score one goal, it's better to score one goal to play 0-0. So we have another game there, and we know that will be much more difficult than today.
Yeah, the sides will meet in roughly 3 weeks' time, Tuesday the 14th of March, for the second leg. But a quick one, Daniela, on the Italian clubs, because other than Juventus, I'd say, since 2010 when Inter won it, other than Juventus reaching a couple of finals and losing, it hasn't been the happiest competition for Italian clubs. You've got three teams, though, over the past 2 weeks that have won their games, Napoli, Milan and Inter, without conceding. This is pretty good for Serie A.
Italy are looking to qualify three teams to the quarterfinals of the Champions League for the first time since 2006. That tells you how big the achievement will be. And the most important thing is that the three Italian teams have won their games in different styles. They've been truth to their own style, to their own tactics. Of course, Napoli is the one that shines the most because he plays the most attractive football, is most entertaining, is most beautiful to watch. But credit also for Milan to be able to revert to a more defensive mindset and keeping Spurs quiet, and for Inter for showing character, resilience and going until the end. So a great chance for Italy to redeem himself at the international stage in the Champions League after a few disappointing seasons, of course.
Let's hear from another Inter player, Henrik Mkhitaryan.
Well, first of all, it was important to win here. It was not that easy because we're playing against a very strong opponent, and as well the pitch wasn't the best. But we've done our best. We've tried to win the game, and at the end we did it. Now we have, let's say, a goal of advantage, but it doesn't mean anything because it will be a totally different game in the away game.
UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
OK, now to Germany, where Leipzig were taking on Manchester City. Dan Roebuck was watching.
Given away by Schlager, and this is Jack Grealish here, and it's towards Mahrez. It's still Riyad Mahrez! Brilliantly taken by Riyad Mahrez, who scores yet again against Leipzig. Manchester City lead here, a mistake at the back from the Bundesliga side, and it's Manchester City that pounce through Riyad Mahrez, who scores for the third consecutive game against Leipzig. Szoboszlai's shot was turned away for another corner that's been taken quickly, and he's clipped in and headed in! Gvardiol gives Leipzig a leveller against Manchester City, and it is thoroughly deserved. Quickly taken second corner in succession. Edison Kane didn't get anything on it, and it was a simple task from close range, really. He couldn't miss.
Dan joins us on the show now after that 1-1 draw. We knew that City were without De Bruyne and Laporte through illness, but they played with a more conventional back four, four defenders in defence, and Kunku on the bench for Leipzig. But Dan, it was a surprising first half, wasn't it, in truth, the way that Leipzig went about the match, I think?
Well, ahead of the game, we thought that Leipzig were going to take a leaf out of an awful lot of Premier League sides in England when they take on Manchester City this season and play front-footed football and play with some ambition. They didn't do that. Marco Rosa said that his side were going to be brave against Manchester City. Well, they weren't. They sat back. They tried to defend deep. They played out from the back. They were caught out, of course, when Schlager gave the ball away and Grealish fed Mahrez
via Gundogan, who may have got a slight touch on it. He will claim the assist. Mahrez with another really good finish, 20 goals now in the UEFA Champions League. And Leipzig just weren't at it in that first half. In the opening 45 minutes, Manchester City had 74% possession. They had seven shots, two on target. Leipzig only had one attempt. It was right at the end of the first half in added on time through Timo Werner. They were timid, and Manchester City were dominant. They looked good at the back. They didn't allow Leipzig any time on the ball, and Pep Guardiola would have been really pleased about the way that his side went about their business. Change of shape. They've been playing with three at the back recently, and as you mentioned there, with Ake at left back and Walker at right back, there's a more orthodox feel to Manchester City. Bernardo Silva was buzzing around on the ball. Erling Haaland wasn't really involved too much, but he hasn't been involved in every single game. He just usually pops up with a goal. Well, he didn't today. And then in the second half, it was completely transformed. The change was one of a fullback. Benjamin Henrikx came on, and suddenly Henrikx on the right-hand side, Hulstenberg on the left-hand side were playing some 10 to 15 yards further forward. Szoboszlai could play centrally a little more. Lima was on the ball. Schlager was more involved in the opposition half. We saw more from Forsberg and Andre Silva. And Guardiola's goal was very much deserved because Leipzig created opportunities, and it was only the final 15 minutes, 10 minutes or so, that Manchester City once again had that possession. But the stats for the second half, completely different, with Manchester City only 49% possession, with Leipzig having six shots to Manchester City's five, three of which were on target to Manchester City's one. It really was a transformation, and it will give Leipzig hope for that second leg.
OK, well, on the topic of that dramatic change of the break, let's hear from Leipzig striker Andre Silva, who revealed what head coach Marco Rosa said in the dressing room at half-time.
He told us to have more, but I think in the first half we let them play more, and the second I think we come with more power, and we made a good second half. Everything is open. We want to pass the next phase. It's difficult playing there in City, but we go with all the power, and we want for the next phase.
The thoughts there of Andre Silva, the Leipzig striker. So that goal coming 20 minutes from time from Leipzig to salvage the draw. There was great confidence ahead of the game, Dan, obviously, because they had that extraordinary banner down one end of the stadium about how they're going all the way to the final in Istanbul.
Yes, and for the first 45 minutes you thought, well, you're not going to get anywhere near it, but now there is still some belief. I don't think they will be booking tickets just yet, and hotels and flights and so on and so forth, but they will have a chance. They're unbeaten away from home since September. The converse to that is the fact that Manchester City haven't lost a UEFA Champions League game at home since they were beaten by Lyon back in 2018. You can massage these numbers around whichever way you want. But I think they'll feel a bit disappointed, Leipzig, that they didn't go for Manchester City in the first half. Look, City still created chances in that second period. Gundogan had a really good opportunity. Blaswick making an excellent save. Jack Grealish got on the ball on a couple of occasions. And Haaland had one chance where he got away and bared down on goal from a tightish angle, but the shot was scuffed and it was wide of the target. We know that City are going to create opportunities, but Pep Guardiola will be a little concerned and a bit frustrated that he couldn't change it. He's a coach that we obviously know is tactically extremely good, but he couldn't change that in the second half, really. And Leipzig will go to Manchester for that second leg, believing that they've got a chance of progressing to the quarterfinal.
Well, let's hear from the official UEFA player of the match, Manchester City's Riyad Mahrez.
I think we played really good in the first half, controlled the game. They didn't have anything. We could score one or two goals. We scored, and then second half they were a bit better. It's Champions League, you know. Every team is difficult to play against. We conceded this goal, which is a bit frustrating, but At the end, we have another game to play at home, and I think second half they had the period where they had the ball and stuff. They scored this goal, which is, like I said, a bit frustrating. But at the end, we still had chances in second half to kill the game. We didn't, and only we draw. It's not a bad result. Now we have to go to Manchester.
Well, despite the fact they failed to hold on for the win, it was a super goal from Riyad Mahrez in the first half, and a 20th in the Champions League for him, becoming the fifth African player to reach that mark after Salah, Mane, Drogba and Samuel Eto'o. But worth noting, Pep Guardiola didn't make a single substitution on the night. So those are the first legs of this year's last 16 in the Champions League, done and dusted. The competition returns in a couple of weeks' time as four teams try to put their place in the quarterfinals. Here's a reminder of how things stand ahead of the second legs.
Kingsley Coman takes the shot on first time, right-footed, and the goalkeeper got down but couldn't keep it out. Donnarumma was deceived, and Bayern made the breakthrough in the first leg of this round of 16, and it's Kingsley Coman again.
Here comes Theo Hernandez into the area, rifles it across. Forster has made a double save, but it's forced over the line, and Milan have got the first blood.
It's Adeyemi against Enzo Fernandez, and he's left it for dead. Adeyemi around the goalkeeper, scores! Incredible goal! One end of the field to the other, and Karim Adeyemi scores a goal for the ages. Oh, David Neres picks the pocket of Meyer to finish to make it 2-0, and he has. David Neres off the bench to go through to plunge a dagger into Brugge's Champions League dream.
So on Tuesday, the 7th of March, Borussia Dortmund take a slender lead to Stamford Bridge as they face Chelsea, while Benfica host Brugge with a two-goal cushion. Just the one-goal advantage for Bayern, although they did win away at Paris Saint-Germain, and Milan as well, as they face Spurs in North London. So, Daniela, let's get into these four games. We could do them a little bit quick-fire, actually. How about that for a fortnight's time? Chelsea-Dortmund, Adeyemi's goal, the difference. What do you reckon?
Chelsea, they need to take the chances this time. They will be in for the chance to qualify. Chelsea are very much a new team, so obviously they need time to gel. Two more weeks is going to be an advantage for them, but Dortmund, they seem to have found the right balance between youth and experience this time. By the way, they are still in contention for the Bundesliga title, so obviously let's see how many rotations they make. Could be make or break for Chelsea and his manager.
Benfica have been excellent in the Champions League. 2-0 up against Club Brugge. Do you see any way back for Scott Parker's team?
No, because Club Brugge are also struggling domestically. They are up to fourth. They had a very poor start of the campaign that continued. I feel Club Brugge surprised everyone in the group stages. They did their homework early, perhaps, but then, you know, they've not been scoring in the last four games, so probably the opposition kind of read them and know what they are about. Benfica, one of the most interesting teams to watch. Let's not underestimate them at all. You know, that conveyor belt of talent of Portuguese football keeps producing year after year good teams and good players to watch.
OK, let's go back to Italian football then here, Daniela. AC Milan, one up. Brahim Diaz has scored the difference against Spurs. They meet at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. How are you feeling about that one?
I feel Milan go back to the basics, switching back to a back three and making sure they are solid as much as they can. Pioli, credit to him for tweaking the system a little bit. But we know that in these big European nights, he cannot just defend. It was a quite underwhelming game, after all, against Spurs. Spurs, on the other hand, they need to get going. They haven't always been able to do that, especially in European nights. Of all the English sides, I feel Spurs are the ones that perhaps can, with the environment in an European night, perhaps they struggle the most. But, you know, they can only get better. The first half performance was very, very poor from them. I feel this one, Spurs-Milan, is probably the game that could go all the way 120 minutes.
OK, and one more from the games in a couple of weeks' time. Bayern against Paris Saint-Germain. The French champions confirmed yesterday that Neymar picked up ankle ligament damage in a weekend defeat to Lille. So we wait to see if he's fit. Mbappe didn't start the first league fit, came on and made a difference. It doesn't make it easy for them, does it, with that 1-0 lead for Bayern in Munich?
And the Bayern Munich look much better in the first half. Also, in the way they were organized, the created chances. I know the goal came from a Donnarumma mistake, but also the same goalkeeper made a few big saves to deny Bayern. Look, it's going to be tough for PSG to take another elimination at this stage of the Champions League, but I feel even if you take them man for man, excluding Mbappé and Messi, they are not quite there with Bayern. So yeah, they had a bad draw, but I think Bayern have shown they are a different class to PSG. Of course, albeit Messi and Mbappe.
Okay, well, let's go to the week after then as well, because we've got Real Madrid against Liverpool. Real Madrid 5-2 up Dan Roebuck at the Bernabeu against Liverpool. I mean, even Jurgen Klopp talking about it seems to think the tie's over, and it's not often he talks in those terms.
Yeah, but this is Liverpool. This is the UEFA Champions League. Have we learnt nothing over the years? I know it would be utterly extraordinary and it would outdo pretty much anything that they've done before. But they have done some spectacular things in this competition, as we all know, because we talk about it all the time. This would top the lot, wouldn't it? Three down,
yeah,
effectively against Real Madrid away from home. But they score lots of goals away from home, and I know it's Real Madrid, and I know that this shouldn't happen. It couldn't happen. But it's Liverpool, and you just never know.
Napoli, you think they're through? Daniela, two up on Frankfurt. They meet again, those sides, at Stadio San Paolo on the 15th of March.
I'm going to make a blunt prediction. They are through, of course. We'll be watching the game not to know if Napoli wins or not. I think they'll win. We'll watch the game to know how they win and how they score.
OK, and it brings us back nicely to tonight's games in the Champions League and the return fixtures on Tuesday, the 14th of March. Porto 0, Inter 1. Before we get into it with Rich and get his thoughts on how the second leg is going to unfold, let's hear from the match winner in the first leg, Romelu Lukaku.
Shaka's luck, and you know, you have to be there at the right time. You know, I just work hard. You know, I think the last few months were very difficult for me in my career. Like, I think the most difficult months. But I kept my head on the. I just kept my head calm, and you know, just worked, and you know, now you know, I think everything is coming back into place.
Okay, second leg. How do we think this one's going at the Dragao, Rich?
If Inter can beat the plague of this season, which is inconsistency. I mean, they've had their great results against the big teams in Serie A, and they've dropped points against teams that they should not have dropped them to. I mean, if they can get past that and produce the kind of composed performance that they showed for much of tonight at San Siro, then they've got the quality to get past Porto and to master the environment there. But Porto will challenge them unquestionably.
Undoubtedly. For Inter, the positives comes from the fact that they weathered the storm when they went to Barcelona. That 3-3, that qualified them. And of course, the big performances in the last month, those wins against Milan, against Napoli, etc. But of course, they cannot just go there and defend. So they are defended. They are set up to counter. You know, the 3-5-2 of Inzaghi allows them to sit back. Porto will try something else, I would imagine, maybe playing with one more striker, switching to three up top. They're going to go for it. It's going to be intense for sure. Advantage Inter, but it's going to be very close.
Okay, Dan. City, Leipzig. Do Leipzig have a chance, do you think?
Of course they have a chance. If they play as they did in the second half, they will feel confident enough to at least score. Manchester City have been brilliant at home this season, but this Leipzig game tonight was the third of five away games on the spin. Will they be a little fatigued by the time the return comes around? Maybe. City favourites, of course, but Leipzig with a puncher's chance.
OK, Dan, your final thoughts, your moment of the game, your outstanding moment of the match between Leipzig 1, Manchester City 1.
Has to be the finish of Riyad Mahrez. He just does it in the UEFA Champions League all the time. That's 20 goals in this competition now. Thumping effort to give City the lead.
And the best moments of the match between Inter and Porto, Ridge.
I'll leave the obvious one to Daniele. So the save from Diogo Costa on the stroke of half-time, which was a real wow moment.
Romelu Lukaku, first header into the post, comes back, left foot, goal, 1-0 Inter.
A good night for Italian football, a good night for Romelu Lukaku and for Inter, as well as Leipzig fighting from behind to get their draw against Manchester City in their first leg. Ty, Dan, Rich,
Daniele, thank you very much for your company. That is all we have time for this evening. A brief recap. RB Leipzig 1, Manchester City 1, Riyad Mahrez with the opener, Joshko Vardiol with the equaliser, 20 minutes in time, and Lukaku off the bench. 4 minutes in the end with a winner for Inter to see off Porto, but it's still tight going into that second leg. We will be back Tuesday, 7th of March, 8 p.m. CET, second legs for the round of 16, Chelsea, Dortmund, Benfica, Club Brugge, and don't forget to download our podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for me and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.